I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. Every Tuesday in the 11 o'clock hour, we set aside a segment to highlight difference makers in our community, part of the NOLA coalition that we have embraced here at the Newell Norman Show. I feel very strongly about this. I feel like we have been at a crossroad, a defining moment for somewhat lengthy period of time here recently. And that we continue to have to prove ourselves as a community that we are willing to step up and make a difference. And thankfully, we have a lot of folks that do. And today's no different. Heather West joins us, Executive Director of Loop NOLA. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel. Thanks for having me.
So, Heather, if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, tell us about the mission of Loop NOLA.
So Loop NOLA is a Louisiana Outdoors Outreach Program. We provide outdoor adventure education for folks in pre-K through adulthood. Our mission is to provide positive, life-changing outdoor experiences to children and youth in greater New Orleans. And we were founded to address the lack of opportunity for urban youth to experience the physical and mental benefits of the outdoors and develop a personal connection with nature. So really, we try to get kids outside, adventuring, trying activities they've never tried before, and building their social and emotional learning along with their physical health and their academic learning.
I love y'all's motto, everyone belongs outdoors. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it kind of means a couple of different things. So number one, we feel like people spend a lot of time indoors these days. National averages, some of the ones I've seen are that kids typically spend up to 7 hours a day in front of screens, which ends up meaning a lot of time inside, not outside playing and experiencing nature and, you know, just getting some exercise and moving around. So we're trying to get people to be more comfortable in outdoor spaces, especially kids who don't normally spend a lot of time in those spaces and might feel uncomfortable or intimidated by them. So we're trying to make sure that everyone feels like they do belong, that they're not excluded from outdoor spaces. And then beyond that, we're just trying to make sure that, especially a lot of kids who have grown up in families who don't have necessarily the income to be able to go to like sleepaway camps or things like that, especially in the New Orleans area, that we're breaking down those barriers and making sure that access exists for them.
Heather, I'm sure you've looked at a number of studies. You just quoted a number, 7 hours. I mean, at what point is it an unhealthy number of hours?
I mean, that's a debate that I've seen a lot of times. It's hard to say what is or is not healthy. I think one of the issues that we see a lot is the amount of kids who have grown up with a cell phone and who have grown up with screens and kind of reach a point where they're almost dependent on it, or like it's a security blanket where they need to have their phone. So one of the things we try to do, especially with like our teen interns, is teach them that a cell phone is a great tool. It's an awesome thing to have. We're not anti-technology or anti-screen. But if you're dependent on it or you feel like you're disconnected from other people if you don't have it, that can be a problem. So probably like a lot of things in life, there isn't a distinct cutoff point, but it needs to not be a problem.
It's interesting because we never really talk about that in the landscape of addiction, right? That you see when kids are punished in schools, when their phones are taken away from them, just freaking out. It's almost as if they feel like they can't survive without that piece of technology, that connection to whatever.
If you read online a bit, you'll find several studies about technology addiction and cell phone addiction, especially which for a lot of kids that is real. There is mental stimulation that comes from spending time on screens. And for a lot of kids now, that really is how they connect with their peers. They jump on social media, or they text, or they connect via some other app, and that's how they do a lot of those connections now. And a lot of that was it got worse during COVID, when a lot of kids were sent home from school and didn't get to hang out with each other as much, and didn't get to go to all the social things that they would normally go to at that age, and instead got put in front of screens. So for a lot of kids, they did kind of grow up with that during a very important developmental time in life.
So you guys do a lot of programming around rope challenges, canoeing, kayaking, fishing, survival skills, camping, hiking, team building. I mean, all of the positive attributes that come out of that social interaction while being outdoors and engaged in these activities. What do you hear most from kids, especially those that first time?
Yeah, I think one of the main things we end up hearing from them is that they didn't think they were going to like it, and then they did. Mm-hmm. That they were scared of whatever it was going to be, but then they had a good time and they would do it again. And honestly, that's one of the things that we're trying to create. We're not necessarily trying to create, you know, the next wilderness guides. If they want to get into that, we do offer career development training, but we want a lot of kids to break through that initial fear barrier, to try something new, have some fun, and be willing to try it again. And we hear that a lot from them, that they were scared to begin with, but then they had fun.
You know, I know when I grew up, exploring and exploration in your own neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. Going to the lake levee, or just, you know, fishing in a canal, you know, I mean, just things of that just seemed, I don't know, to contribute so much to my life as I look back on those moments. And it's got to be the same. Do you find it that there's a lack of this desire to explore, or are they explore in a different way?
The desire is there, but the fear and apprehension, I think, is stronger and different than it used to be. Because they've been told not to do it, and been told that it's dangerous, or been told that it's not for them, or just weren't allowed to. So as they're getting older, rather than growing up with it, it's this thing that they kind of want to do, but it feels dangerous and like they shouldn't be doing it. And so once they get to, then they have a lot of fun. I mean, we've had plenty of kids who will take on a, you know, I'll put this in quotes, on a hike just here in City Park in Couturier Forest. And initially they're scared to go in the forest because they're worried about bears and lions. And we have to tell them, like, no, we're still in New Orleans. We still don't have bears. We still don't have lions. And then we'll go out and they'll look around and find little doodle bugs and roly-polies, you know, those. And then just get so excited about picking them up and collecting roly-polies, which is stuff that as a kid I did all the time. I always wanted to play with roly-polies. Right. So yeah. The desire is still there once they get past the perceived fear.
It's almost as if they lack context, right? And understanding, you know, now that's, you can see those, but it's not going to be in this particular landscape.
Exactly. Because a lot of it, they haven't spent the time growing up with it. And what they know of it, they've learned from movies or TV or YouTube or things like that. And the only stuff that they're really going to show on those channels is going to be really exciting, gnarly things. Because regular nature isn't super fun to watch on TV. But it's a lot of fun to experience. So they do lack the context. I think you're right there, for sure.
Do you find that there's like a reinvigoration of them to research once they get back to school, to learn more about these experiences that they've had? You know, when you talk about the hydrodynamics of a canoe you know, whatever it may be, kayaking, you know, all kinds of different things.
For some, it seems like there does. For some, not right after the first trip. But again, we've struck that curiosity that maybe they would do it again. And then for others, once they've come out a couple of times and they've actually started building a skill set, then they're more interested in really learning more and trying to do a little bit more. Like it wasn't just a one-off experience. It was something that they feel like they gained some skill at and learned a little bit about.
Yeah. I love hearing about this, you know, because the beauty of the outdoors is it's cheap for the most part, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't take a serious investment to go explore and be curious about some things and to just go look and enjoy.
Exactly. I mean, you can go to a park and walk around and learn about the birds and just enjoy nature. And we have several local trails that are nice, which is funny because a lot of people don't know about them. But we've got some great local trails around here. We've got some nice mountain biking. You do have to have a mountain bike for that. But even if you wanted to try canoeing, Joe Brown Park out in New Orleans East does free canoeing from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturdays, and they do free fishing. So you can just show up on Saturday and use their gear and just go boating. And that's, you know, it's a resource that we have in this city that a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah. How long have y'all been in existence, and how long have y'all been doing these outdoor activities?
So we've existed since the late 90s. Loop was initially formed by a guy named Dan Foreman. He moved down here from the New England area, and he had grown up doing a lot of outdoorsy stuff as a kid and as a young man, and that played a huge role in his life. And then he moved down to New Orleans and realized that a lot of kids here don't really play outside and don't really go exploring, and he figured that should change. So we formed Loop and started getting kids outside, and particularly making sure that kids who don't necessarily have access to this stuff get to go outside. As you might know, like a lot of New Orleans kids, if they do the canoeing and all that stuff, a lot of them try it at sleepaway camp during the summer. So if you don't have the money for sleepaway camp, you might not be trying it. So he made sure that it was accessible to everybody. And then it became a state parks program, and Loop was a state parks program for several years until Louisiana started getting into a budget crisis and was defunding a few programs. And unfortunately, during that time, Dan passed away, but Loop continued. And then as it was getting defunded, a few folks who loved the program and had been friends of Dan formed a board and did the paperwork to turn it into a 501c3. So that paperwork went through in 2015, and we've been a nonprofit since then.
I met Dan somewhere, and I'm racking my brain trying to remember where I met him. And I know that I think there's been stories reported on, now that I'm thinking about it, with Loop NOLA and some of the stuff that y'all have offered for so many years. It's a great program. If folks want to get involved, I mean, are you looking for volunteers? I know donations always help. Where would they go?
They can check out our website, loopnola.org. They can also just shoot us an email, info@loopnola.org. We try to keep it simple. We occasionally need volunteers. We're all definitely looking for donations because we are a 501c3, so we're funded through donations and grants and fee-for-service programs. But we also have opportunities for folks who want to come out and explore, get their own kids or families or groups involved.
And this is pre-K through adult. You have adult groups as well, right?
We do. Yeah, we have adult groups as well. We operate on a fee-for-service. We have fee-for-service programs, so we operate on a sliding fee scale. So we have adult groups out, like we do corporate team-building days or parties or things like that. The adults pay regular money so that the youth groups can come out and have it be affordable for them. Because most of our programs, we focus on serving kids from the low-income public school system in the New Orleans area. And so we want to make sure that that price isn't an issue for those kids to be able to come out. So that way, grown-ups can come out and have fun and still do their team building. And it helps serve the community as well.
Absolutely. Heather West, Executive Director of Loop NOLA, thank you for all that you guys are doing, and much success in whatever endeavor y'all take on in the future. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us, and we'll appreciate it.
Thank you. And we will be right back, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome back, folks. Our champions are actually from Chalmette High School. The Pro Start management team there achieved national glory, earning first place at the 2025 National Pro Start Invitational. It was held this past weekend in Baltimore, and they join us. The members of the management team, Asma Askar, Denim Bell, Norman Morales, Cameron Simon, and Lily Vu, join us right now. Folks, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
We're doing.
Hi.
I know that we got five of you guys, so someone's going to have to take a little bit of the lead here. First, let me say congratulations. I love hearing the stories of our students in the place that we call home go off and compete nationally and bring back a trophy the size. That's a pretty impressive trophy, the one that you guys brought back. If someone would take the lead and tell me, for the benefit of our audience, what the competition was about specifically and how y'all feel. So who's going to step up?
Yeah, I can take this one. So ProStar is basically a two-year – oh, this is Norman.
Norman, okay. Norman Morales.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Norman.
Yes, sir. So ProStar is a two-year program for high school students interested in culinary or business management. And me and my team here at Chalmette High School, we're really interested on the business management part. So we joined up, we got a coach, and we created a restaurant and went to present it first to state, competed there, and we got first place, which then automatically makes you eligible to go to nationals and compete and represent your state. And you're right. It was truly an honor. And we are really grateful for that opportunity.
So you guys put together, I guess, a business plan for a restaurant concept to include management and all the other particulars of a business plan then, right?
Yeah, we did. We basically created a restaurant concept from scratch. We took, of course, inspiration from Louisiana and many restaurants around the city and basically created our own.
So the name of the restaurant, La Strada, which is a fusion of Creole and Italian cuisine. How did y'all arrive with La Strada?
So we really wanted to do Italian because we all grew up in Louisiana, and with that, we were all surrounded by Italian food, and we all had a passion for Italian food. But we still wanted to have our hint of Creole, where, you know, where we come from. And so we decided to fuse that together and really make it a unique dish.
The name La Strada specifically, here in St. Bernard, people refer to as going to New Orleans as going up the road, and then going down to the Gulf as going down the road. So we kind of just took the word the road and translated it to Sicilian or Italian, which means La Strada.
And
that Creole side as well.
So you actually develop dishes as well, a menu and all of that?
Yes, we did.
So tell us about some of the dishes that you guys came up with and designed.
So one of our dishes is our legendary muffalata, which represents perfectly the blend of the Creole Italian cuisine, and it represents our concept perfectly.
Next, one of the dishes I came up with, Norman, was our pasta alla Norman. It's a spin on that traditional pasta alla Norman dish with all the rigatoni and eggplants, and we wanted to incorporate that into our concept as well.
And one of our desserts include our cannoli stuffed beignets, which uses like ricotta Italian cheese with our New Orleans style beignets, which also provides like a perfect blend of Creole and Italian.
Yeah, it's basically all foods you find around in the city, and we all loved.
So how does the competition work from a presentation standpoint, if y'all could tell us about that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So the competition has five different segments. It's first concept, marketing, operations, and menu, and critical thinking. And so each one, it's as it says, the concept, you have to explain our concept. We have about 7 minutes to do that. And so we come up with a presentation and develop the concept. And then for marketing as well, we come up with two marketing strategies. Which this year we used our Facebook reel, and we created a loyalty program. And then for operations, we kind of just explain how the layout of our restaurant was made and developed and how it operates throughout the day on busy Friday nights or even on the slow days. And it also has an organizational chart for all of our employees. And the menu is just menu. And then this last section, which is the most important one, is critical thinking, where you have actual restaurant owners and like leaders in this business that ask you questions about restaurants that you should know as the owners and how you would handle certain circumstances or scenarios, which you have to be prepared for.
Sounds pretty intense to me. How nervous were you?
Yeah.
We were pretty nervous.
Yeah, we were all pretty stoked.
We were all so excited. Nervous with us.
Yeah.
But you had gone through state. You won first place there. Obviously, when you get to anything on a national level, the stress, I'm sure, ramps up, right?
Oh, it definitely did. We actually competed on the second day. So on the first day, we had the chance to look at the other teams present and compete as well. And we were looking out for like the big states, like California or Texas and Ohio as well. And like just looking at them, we were like kind of shooken up. I'm like, wow, guys, you're really up there in competition wise. And like we had to lock in, and we did. So that was cool.
Absolutely. And is Ms. Hodges with us?
Yes,
she is. Yes, sir. She's right next to us.
So, Ms. Hodges, I think you were the instructor and the mentor to the team. If you would, tell us what this means to you and obviously Chalmette High School and St. Bernard Parish.
Well, I've been doing this for quite a while. I've been at Chalmette High School for about 8 years. We've placed first at state for culinary and management in 22 and 23. Last year in 2024, we also did management. And this year just happens to be the first time we've ever placed first at nationals. And this is something that I've been working towards with different groups of students. And somehow this year it just happened with the group of students that were chosen. They actually came to me. So I didn't really choose them. They came to me and said, we want to do this. And
it's,
I believe, for Chalmette High School, this is one of the first national trophies that we've received. The first one ever for Chalmette High.
We made history.
In any category, in any event.
Sports,
academic games. Nope, we did it for culinary.
Absolutely. You know, Ms. Hodges, it's kind of interesting, and I talk about this on this show quite a bit. A lot of my friends, and myself included, worked in the restaurant industry. And it's amazing how many go on to CEO level jobs of other major organizations, having little or nothing to do with the restaurant business. And we talk about this development of a work ethic that is unique to that industry, and that it translates into other disciplines so well and leads to success. And I'm curious how you and your students feel about that notion.
Well,
I mean, we feel, we kind of feel like we have this road in front of us now, and we were basically told that, like, hey, anything is possible. If we got first in this competition, we got first for a reason. And it shows us that we have the tools and the abilities to make our dreams possible. And that dream could become the CEO of a restaurant or a business owner. And I think that just feels incredible for all of us. Even if that's not anything we want to do, it's still just the feeling, you know, being able to do that.
And it also showcases how hard we work as a team. We really collaborated since August, and the fact that all of our hard work paid off just really showed that, you know, we were so committed, and we're just so happy about it.
How many of y'all think you may end up in the restaurant industry?
Three of us.
About three of us. I'm going to Yale, and I want to do something in business management. So, honestly, I can honestly see myself being a restaurant owner in the future.
Anyone else?
I'm also going to Tulane for business.
So all of you, all five of you are seniors?
Yes, we're all seniors.
And all going to college?
We all plan on going to college.
Absolutely. That's awesome. I got a text here. Congrats to these Owls. My uncle is the Chalmette High School principal, Wayne Warner. My aunt said he is so really, really, really proud of them. Obviously, it's big news. First time ever for Chalmette High School in a national competition. Congratulations to each and every one of y'all. Final thoughts.
Thank you. We just want to say thank you to everyone who has been congratulating us and saw the work that we put into this.
Thank you for everyone's support.
Thank you for our mentors, Ms. Hodges, Mr. Template, and Chef Anna. They really showed us how much work we had to put in and kind of told us what we needed to do. But at the end of the day, I want to say I'm really thankful for this team in front of me right now, and I'm grateful for all the days that we practiced, all the conversations we had, and the ideas we shared. And I love them all, truly.
Ms. Hodges?
I'm just grateful to have these kids, and I'm really going to miss them. They graduated last night, and who knows when I'm going to see them again. So.
Well, congratulations to each and every one of y'all. Congratulations on your graduation last evening, and best of luck to you and whatever your future holds for you. And please know that the entire area is incredibly proud of your accomplishment. Best of luck to all of y'all.
Thank you.
And I'll go ahead and say it. It's hard for me as a Blue Jay. Go Owls. And congratulations. Oh, yeah. Y'all have a great summer, folks. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay with us. On a text line, folks, way to go, Newell. That was a great Go Owls. What was the name of the competition? The name of the competition was the 2025 National Pro Start Invitational. It was held in Baltimore, Maryland. And it is part of the, I think, the National Restaurant Association and other groups in that field that put it on. And the folks at Chalmette want to thank the Louisiana Restaurant Association, Stan Harris, who does a great job over there, the Louisiana Restaurant Association Education Foundation, Jonathan Bainham, who's the vice president and executive director of the foundation, was very excited for Ms. Hodges and the students for their hard work and representation of Louisiana. And so many folks are really, this is actually, folks, most people don't realize this is a really big thing. It's a big competition. And, you know, I don't know about you. I could do these segments all day, right? I mean, did you hear those kids' voices? I mean, how happy were they? How happy were they that they had the opportunity? How happy were they that they had adults that believed in them and were willing to go the extra mile to have them chase a dream, chase an opportunity, right? And how thankful were they and happy about what they were able to achieve? And you could tell right away that none of them viewed them as being the center of any universe. They were excited about their team. And one of the team members, I thought, summed it up really well. He said, "We just didn't win first place. We won an unforgettable experience with the pride that comes with it. We came to have fun, and winning was just a side effect." And one of the other members said that joining this team at Chalmette High was one of the best decisions that she ever made. And I'd give anything to experience it all just one more time. And obviously, there, you know, it's interesting. And I was talking to one of our family members the other day that's making a transition from high school to college about, if you're fortunate enough to be in a high school where there's a lot of folks that are looking out for you, that care about you, that making sure you're making the right decisions at the right time, you're showing up for class and this, that, and everything else. When you get to college, it's really kind of a slap in the face because you move to an environment where you're almost just a number, and there are not as many people looking out for you, and there are not as many folks cheerleading for you, and you're kind of on your own. And it's a pretty wide delta between high school and when you walk in on the campus your freshman year. I remember being slapped in the face with that reality, even though it was, you know, UNO at the time for me was a very endearing school. I wouldn't change it for anything. They stayed the course with me, and I certainly appreciated that and think the world of UNO. But it is a big transition for kids. But going back to, I could do these segments all day long because it's about our succession planning of the new generation and the new kids, you know, the kids coming up, becoming adults, what they're going to be, how they're going to lead. I don't know about you, but these kids are very articulate. You could tell they're very smart. They seem to be on the right path. And I would agree with Miss Hodges. Chalmette High School will miss them, and probably most of the other seniors as well, if not all. And, you know, and it's hard to have each one of these passing through this little snippet of time, right? That the short period of time that you're in high school. And again, congratulations to the Chalmette High Owls and the ProStart management team winning first place at the 2025 National ProStart Invitational this past weekend. We are very, very proud of you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. So we've been talking about education. The Jefferson Parish School Board passed a budget amendment to give a one-time stipend of $1,500 for their teachers. And this could be in addition to the stipend that the state is considering as well for teachers at $2,000. So it would be an additional $3,500 if the state ends up passing that stipend for teachers. You will recall that there were some constitutional amendments that failed that would have made this a permanent pay raise. And also the school board went out on an ad valorem tax millage increase that failed as well. And so they have set out to do the stipends, these one-time, so that they can evaluate. But to give you an kind of a snapshot of what's important about growing your economy, it's really about the sales tax base, right? And being able to afford some things. And they were able to afford this as a result of increases in sales tax collections in Jefferson Parish. And as long as you have a healthy, vibrant economy, you're able to draw upon those resources periodically to backfill and what you need to do from a budgetary standpoint. Always important to keep your eye on that ball. An additional $5.6 million in sales tax revenue went to the school board.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.